Thanks for clicking in. It's always good to have the opportunity to study Scripture together and look at ourselves in light of the inspired Word of God. Please join me in turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Our God is the God of all comfort. Do you ever have days where the comfort of God means more to your heart than other days? That is not because the Lord has changed. But in difficult situations and in our dealings with those who antagonize us, we are more aware of our need for the comfort that only God can give in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we usually hear the word comfort, we think of comfortable couches, comfortable clothes, comfort foods, comfortable beds, all the things that form to what we want. Things that are tailored to our proverbial tastes. That is not at all like what the Scriptures are focusing on and teaching about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This word comfort is about the God who is called to be by our side. He is our comfort. He will stand with us in afflictions and sufferings for His sake. Look at verse 2. As Paul writes to the church, the saints in Corinth, he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace from our Father, that makes us sons or children, and we are in humble service to our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is given when we falter in sin, after we again submit our hearts to the Lord's will. But grace is also given after we hold firmly to our Lord's hand and will not swerve away from His will. This grace God will give us is far beyond our own self-perceived worth or even lack of worth. When we walk firmly in the steps of the Lord, we also find peace, a peace that surpasses understanding. It surpasses our own comprehension. In other words, it's bigger than us, a peace that is present and consistent no matter what the circumstances around us might be. Now look at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Did you notice that He is the God of all comfort? That may not make sense on the surface. We see the wicked and evil enjoy the comforts of riches and exotic vacations, seemingly without worries or hardships, and they have no faithful relationship with the Lord. So how can this be? The term comfort in this whole passage is from a Greek word that literally means called to one side. Ever had a fire in the barn, then called 911 for the fire department to come extinguish the fire before it became unleashed to engulf the house in flames too? You called a comforter. When they came to your side, they have strength and abilities to help beyond your own limits. You called the fire department to your side. Was it a comfort when you heard the sirens getting closer and louder? Was it a comfort when they unfurled the hoses to extinguish the fire and limit its destruction to just the barn? Yes, of course it was a comfort. You recognized their strength and abilities that were beyond your own. They showed you grace. You had never met them before. You found peace, knowing it is just physical things that were destroyed. You were also shown mercy. It could have spread to destroy your house and even your loved ones too. Now that's just a physical illustration of this word comfort, called to one side. So now let's look at the God of all comfort. What changes when God and the Lord are called to your side in the midst of hardships and difficulties? Well, everything changes. Look at verse 4. "Who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." The afflictions are the times we feel the pressure or stress to move away from our Lord, or anything that even burdens our spirit. We often want our bosses to think highly of us, but there are opportunities where to be pleasing in the eyes of our boss would be sinful to our Lord. We feel pressured. We often imagine the worst is going to happen at work if we disappoint the boss. It burdens our spirit and it burdens our heart. Then we seek the Lord in our thinking, and everything changes. We call the Lord to our side for comfort. We want to do it His way, not ours. We remember the teachings to lay aside falsehood. We decide that we will not lie for our boss anymore. We find peace in the midst of difficult circumstances because we're now walking hand in hand with the Lord, and we know by faith that He will take care of us. He will show us mercy. Perhaps we even lied in the past. He will show us grace. That grace might even mean we get fired, and then to be freed from the situation only to find an even better job opportunity we would have never even been looking for. And we find peace and the comfort of knowing God is standing by our side through the affliction now that we want to walk with Him. And if someone asked you later, as they find themselves in a similar situation, what would your encouragement to them be? Wouldn't you say to seek the hand of the Comforter and walk faithfully? Otherwise, we will walk away from mercy, grace, peace, and comfort in knowing that the Lord stands with you. We would simply point them toward the Lord. Think back to verse 4 again. Notice the statement that Paul makes. Who comforts us in all our afflictions? Paul was not writing these inspired statements without firsthand knowledge. Time and time again, he had been in stresses and afflictions himself. He learned where to find comfort. He learned how to find the God of all comfort now that he was in Christ. He humbled himself under the Lord's almighty hand, no matter what the circumstances might be. Mark your place here. We'll be back. Turn over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are in Philippi, a leading city in the Roman colony of Macedonia. There is a servant girl in Philippi who is bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling, because she had an evil spirit of divination. Her masters enjoyed having the comfort of monetary profit by their side, but when Paul cast the spirit out of their slave girl, her masters were furious because their comfort of making money was no longer at their side. They had Paul and Silas dragged before the authorities. Then the magistrates tore the outer garments off of Paul and Silas and ordered them to be beaten with rods. Imagine rods about the size of a shovel handle. After many blows were taken, Paul and Silas are thrown into the inner prison and have their feet secured in the stocks. Paul knew afflictions, and this is just one, but Paul also knew comfort. He knew to call the Lord to his side. Do you see Paul and Silas being afflicted? And now pay attention to their response of worship toward the Lord as they call on the Almighty God. Acts chapter 16, look at verse 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were calling on God, praying to Him. They wanted to sing their uplifting hymns of praise to God. They were calling on God to come to their side. We will see shortly that their number one prayer request is not to be let go and freed. Because when the opportunity quickly arises, they don't respond toward those desires. They are not looking selfishly. They are looking for the comfort of God's presence at their side. Think in terms of this. We know when we're born into Christ that the Spirit always abides within our heart. But this is a comfort that comes from God, not just His Spirit. And you know that the Lord is certainly always seeking after souls. Look at verse 26. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Every prisoner was unlocked from their chains, and all the doors were opened. But Paul and Silas did not run away as fugitives. They have been afflicted and mistreated unjustly, yet they stay, and in the end save the life of their perceived enemy, the jailer, because the Lord is by their side. They seek to abide with the Lord and not look to just themselves. Now listen to verses 27 through 30. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Look at the picture. The jailer is about to commit suicide because he is supposing all the prisoners had escaped. Can you imagine being in a suicidal situation with someone who has unjustly imprisoned you? Would you be selfless and not think about your wounds and abide in comfort with the Lord at your side? Or would anger, resentment, and an unforgiving heart push the Lord away from being called to your side? If we responded out of this evil motive, we would also push away His mercy, His grace, and His peace from us too. That is, until we have a change of heart to move away from the selfish and the ungodly and come to abide in His comfort again. Since Paul is abiding with the Lord by his side, he cries out for the jailer not to harm himself. And by the next morning, the jailer and his whole household have been taught about the Lord Jesus. And having believed, they are all baptized into Christ. From suicide to salvation. What a drastic change for the jailer's soul. The Lord also takes care of Paul and Silas. They have their wounds washed, food is set before them, and the local government seeks for them to be released. Look at the comfort that comes from calling the Lord to your side, to walk with Him. Grace and peace are given. They are not fugitives on the run, and they are free indeed. And all that happened before the morning had expired. The Lord can work quickly, but He always works for what is best. Now turn back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look down in verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look down at verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. I wonder how long it'll take us to listen and absorb the message of this verse. Have you ever heard the old adage about waiting for the other shoe to drop? This isn't the origin of the idiom, but let's picture it this way. A person throws a pair of their shoes up into the air. The first one hits the ground, and they are eagerly waiting for the other shoe to drop. It is inevitable. It is a guarantee that it would fall, and that it will fall. Even if it was to get caught in a tree, given enough time, even it would fall. When we are met with abundant sufferings, pains, strains, stresses, pressures, and our burdens, do you eagerly know that abundant comfort is ours too? Wait for the other shoe to drop. Sufferings and comforts are always a pair in Christ. When you get one, the other is certainly coming also. Too often we get caught up in the sufferings and difficulties and send out our depressed invitations to our own personal pity party in how we talk and communicate with others. How faithless could we be? Or maybe we're just weak in faith. If we share in the sufferings of Christ, we also share in the comforts of Christ. Do you trust the Almighty God to keep His promises in Jesus? If you suffer for walking obediently with Jesus, then have this certain expectation. The comfort is on its way. The other shoe will drop. Paul knew the way saints respond to difficulties, how the saints respond to difficulties has an effect on other members of the Lord's body as well. Listen to verse 6. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. This affliction is one that can arise from the pressures of circumstances or even being antagonized by others. Because of Paul's afflictions in Philippi, it had brought about the salvation of the jailer and his whole household. It matters how we respond to affliction, even when being antagonized by our enemies. The good example of a saint living a Christ-like life will always be an encouragement to those of faith. And it helps the rest of us learn how to live more like Christ, too. And the comfort we enjoy in walking with the Lord helps us cease from contemplating giving up these promises. We find an endurance that will not stop striving to live like Christ and to love like He did, even His own enemies. He died for us all in order that we might all have the hope of His saving grace and abiding peace. Endurance is about bearing up under the difficulties. It's not a promise for them to end, but the strength to endure the difficulties, which means we are growing stronger as we endure in the comfort of the Lord. Never giving up, we know comfort is ours in abundance when the difficulties and the sufferings come in abundance too. Because with that comfort always comes endurance. Now look at verse 7 in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Paul says that their hope is firmly grounded. In other words, it's fixed. It's certain. It's unmovable. When you run across the idea of hope in the New Testament, it is a confident expectation. It is something that God has promised. Therefore, you know He will always keep His promise. And that's why we hope. There is a false hope where people hope for things that God never promised. But this is a genuine hope, because God has given the promise, and we can have a confident expectation. Think of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. When we suffer for doing what is right, Jesus said, we're blessed. We're blessed because we share in fellowship with Him and His sufferings. When being persecuted for the sake of what is righteous, your hope and expectation is the kingdom of heaven. When people insult you, persecute you, and make up false accusations against you for imitating Jesus, your reward in heaven is great. And with all those difficulties and sufferings, you can have the comfort of God abiding with you and having salvation. You will also endure because by faith you know God will keep His promises. And therefore we are not left without hope. But we have a hope that will certainly not disappoint. If we suffer for doing what is wrong or evil, there is no promise of comfort. But if we come or return to the Lord with a broken heart, His mercy and grace are ready to forgive by the blood of the cross of Christ, and we'll be raised up with Him, and we can once again share in the comforts that come only in God. He is the God of mercies and the God of all comfort. You won't find an enduring comfort without Him. May the Lord bless you as you walk in His steps, taking faith that in difficulties and sufferings, as we hold to what is righteous, that His comfort is to be expected. And since we have comfort, we can endure, having a hope that is unmovable.